I want to finish out this morning, today being the 7th of July, 2024. I want to finish out the last part of the lesson we were trying to finish last Sunday on church leadership. And we got down through Titus. And I think I was getting ready to start on the book of 2 Timothy and just give you some things about that real quickly. But I want you to understand, when Paul was talking to Titus and when he was talking to Timothy, they were looking at things then, in their day, how that people would become hardened toward the gospel. And folks, we are seeing this today. But we are also seeing where people are being willing to listen to the message of the gospel. We had a food call Wednesday, and we were trying to get everything done for church services. I was preaching at the nursing home and had to get back here for the services here on Wednesday night. Brother Dave White went with me down to the Scenic View Motel down in Phoenixburg. And the fellow was staying there. And, you know, it's not Holiday Inn Express, that's for sure, okay? All right? Or some of these other bigger ones. You know, that's my big thing, Holiday Inn Express. But anyway, we got down there and gave the man the groceries and took him some food, but had also the opportunity to share the message of the gospel with him. And he trusted Christ as his Savior. 64 years old, homeless, doesn't have any place to go. But he came to trust Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what? He was receptive to that. He was looking for something to satisfy. And that's what God is trying to help the Apostle Paul encourage Timothy and Titus and you and me today as we read these books. And we looked at Titus last week, how the whole theme of the letter to Titus was living that godly lifestyle. The believer needed to show the world something that was real, something that's true, something that's honest, something that is different than what the world's got today. We got too many churches today. Too many churches have become so worldly, and the world's become so churchy, you can't tell the two apart. And we need to make a difference in these people's lives. We give them the gospel. We let them see how that God is number one in our lives. But he talked about there also people doing good works. Everybody today, listen, I had a man told me, he said, well, I believe in God. I said, well, bless your heart. You rank right on up there with the devil because he believes in God too. And he trembles, okay? The problem is today, people that say they believe in God don't tremble. There is no fear of God. There is no fear of entering into eternity without the Savior. And they need to experience the fear of God. They need to understand the power and the holiness of God and to realize where they are in relationship to God. And folks, let me remind you of something. We are not saved by good works. Amen? We have been saved to do good works for Christ. And here in the book of Titus, Paul talks to him about this, and he shares this again. Look down at Titus chapter 3. I want you to begin there in verse number 3. Look at it just a moment. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse number 3. He said this. He said, for we ourselves also were. Now that's past tense, okay? Past tense, not present, past tense. We also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, oh, I love this. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Amen? He changed us. He saved us. And look what He said. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen? Isn't that great? And that reminds us, listen, folks, we're not saved by our righteous deeds. Traditions and dogmas of religious affiliations and men and things like that, that is not what saves us. It is salvation through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 just a moment. Here again, the Holy Spirit of God had Paul write these words to let us know and remind us it's nothing to do with our works of righteousness. It's nothing to do with our goodness. Okay? He said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And look at verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in him." Thank God for the Word of God, amen, that clarifies and helps us to know that our salvation is not by our works of righteousness, but it's all through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Calvary, he paid the debt. He was buried in the tomb to take that sin away. And he arose again to give us eternal life and victory over that sin. And it's all through the Lord Jesus. Then we finish out with the second book of Timothy. 2 Timothy, all right? Now, I know we got it in a little different order here in our Bibles. 1 Timothy, then 2 Timothy. It just keeps things in order. But actually, 2 Timothy was written right before Paul was martyred for the cause of Christ. And he had, while he was enduring his second imprisonment, okay, here in Rome, the Spirit of God had him write these words of instruction and guidance to Timothy. Why? Because God wanted his church to continue to function and to know the truth that will set men free. The truth that will set men free. Because of his faith in Christ and his unwillingness to stop sharing the message of the gospel, Paul was imprisoned. And people didn't like to hear what he had to say. But they could not deny what God had done in his life. There were religious people there, the Jews, who knew Paul before he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. You got to remember, we read this a couple weeks ago, how that Paul had papers in his hands, documentation, authority to take any of that way, the way of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the Jews didn't like that. And they didn't like to hear that message. They didn't like to hear the fact that because of their willingness to crucify the Savior, okay, they were not looked upon in very much favor. But here, the Bible talks about how that Paul had a testimony. His life had been changed by the message of the gospel, by the love of God that was shown upon him, the mercy of God. Paul had the authority to put people in prison. He caused them to blaspheme and he put them to death. And he spoke against them when it was time to speak against them. And yet, as Paul is getting ready to be ushered into eternity, he's sitting down and he's writing these things out to young Timothy as a preacher to tell him, he said, "Now you be faithful in the ministry of the gospel. You be faithful. Listen, all these things have worked out for the glory of God and for the furtherance of the gospel." And he's talking to Timothy here. He was down deep in the earth, probably in a cold, dark, dungeony-looking prison. He asks here for his cloak over in chapter 4, verse 13. And he's looking for that cloak to keep him warm. He's got nothing, nothing. And is left there. Folks have left him. And there's nothing there to encourage his heart except the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. He said this. He said, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Folks, listen to me today. We need to stand behind the man of God. We need to stand up with the man of God. Amen. And we need to encourage him in the work of God. And let me tell you why. Because there are things happening in our world today, right here in the United States, just like what he told you about a few moments ago. It's happening. It's real. None of these things make the news, okay? None of these things make the news. And it won't make the news, but it makes news in heaven. It makes news in heaven. And we need to encourage one another. He said, all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. But then in this last chapter, Paul's final Timothy letter to Timothy, he writes these things. And he talks about this. I'll go back one chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to try to get through this as quickly as I can so I can get started on the other lesson this morning. You know I never get quite finished with things, right? Mercy. Lord, help me. I want you to look at chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. He said, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, Paul and those that lived for Christ saw the days that they were living in as perilous days. My wife and I sat down on the 4th of July, and we were sitting there, and we watched a movie on Polycarp. Polycarp. He was a follower of John the Apostle. And you know, Polycarp, when he would not bow and he would not compromise the Word of God and he wouldn't stop telling folks about Christ, they took him and said, tomorrow you burn at the stake. And we watched on that video how he stood and he gave testimony about how that for 86 years he had lived for God and God had done him no wrong. Done him no wrong. And it just made the emperor even more mad. And they started the fire around the kindling there, all around him. And yet the fire did not burn him. He didn't die in the fire. And because he didn't die in the fire, they all got mad at him. And he was praising God, being tied to the stake. The fire did him no harm. And they came upon him with a spear and they stabbed him to death while he was standing in the middle of that fire because the fire didn't do him any harm. And I would think today that those saints of God, that great cloud of witnesses around us today, would be trying to tell us, just keep going. Keep serving. Keep doing what you're doing for God. It'll all be worth it one day. Listen, we don't know when the last day is going to be for this earth to hear the message of the gospel before the Lord Jesus decides to come and take us out of here and his wrath comes down. We don't know when that day is. But until that day comes, we're to be found faithful. And that's what he's trying to encourage Timothy here. All the things that were going around them, the persecutions, the killings, these people were dying for their faith. Listen, we don't experience that today. We're not seeing that right here around us right now. But I'm telling you, it's going to come. Persecution's going to come. And you better know where you stand and why you stand there because you don't want to fail the Lord Jesus. I don't want to fail him. Paul said this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now you tell me if this does not describe the days that we live in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, they're uncontrollable, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Don't go with them. Don't yoke up with them. Don't be with them. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, we're seeing kids today leave colleges with a full mind and an empty heart. And folks, they need Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus. Listen, we see all these things. And then we see Paul's parting words. Listen to what he said. Let me tell you. Go over to chapter 4, verses 2 through 5. Look at this. This is the last chapter. He said in chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, he said, preach the word. Man, if I could tell any young man that God calls to preach today, if I could give him any encouragement, he'd say, preacher, what should I do? I'd say, preach the word. Stay in the book and let the book stay in you. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Boy, are we not seeing that today? Nobody wants truth today. Oh, that's offensive. Truth is offensive. Truth is what they need to be able to set them free from the bondage of sin. They turn their ears away from truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Folks, listen. We need to do the work of an evangelist today. What is that? It's taking the gospel everywhere. Everywhere we go. Listen, when that early church, when they were persecuted and they were scattered abroad, guess what? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. And now we're hearing about people like what he was talking about, Buddhist priests coming to know the Savior, the truth of the message of the Word of God, and they're getting saved. And God's using them to reach their people. Go over now to chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. And these are his parting words. Let me ask you something. If you knew that you were dying today, what would be your parting words to your family, to your friends, to those that you love and you care for? What would be your parting words? I've thought about that here lately. Man, I've thought about that. I've got two funerals to preach this week. And you know, I always think about this thing. What will be my legacy I leave behind for my family, my friends, my loved ones? What will they say of me? Listen to what he said. He said, Timothy, he said, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, don't let there be any doubt in anyone's mind of what you know and what you believe. Make full proof of your ministry. And he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Boy, those are the three things I want to be able to say when I am getting ready to depart out of this land. Wednesday, my wife will be leaving to drive down to, or to fly down to North Carolina. Our son-in-law, they're going to be taking out his whole kidney. It's probably cancer, and the tumor is just too big. They're going to remove the whole kidney. And she's going down to stay with the grandchildren while our daughter is with him in the hospital. And I've got to take her down to the airport. I got to have her there 2 hours before, and then she's got an hour and a half flight, and then she'll be there. But I thought to myself, you know, if anything happened on the road, coming back, going down, anything like that, can people look at me and say, he has fought a good fight? Hey, can they look at my life and say, hey, you know what? He finished his course. What God called him to do, he did it. And he finished that course. Will they be able to look at me and say, he kept the faith? You know what? When folks come to me, and I've tried to do this ever since I've been saved. I got so tired of listening to folks that if you ask them how they were, they spent 30 minutes telling you how they were, okay? I didn't want that to happen in my life. And most of the time when folks ask me, preacher, how you doing today? Saved by grace. Amen. I want folks to know I have kept the faith. Why? Look at this. Henceforth, or because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And I want you to see this. And not to me only, Paul says, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. Where is your love today, folks? As a leader in the church, I want my love to be centered upon Christ. Christ has to be the hub of my wheel, and all the other things I do are simply spokes in that wheel. The problem is today, folks are building their lives on the spokes and not the hub. They're not centering their lives upon Christ. And then they get down to the end and they realize they're going to face Christ in just a little bit. And they say, oh me, oh my. Folks, there's a crown to be won. And he gives warning here in verse 5, but in verses 6 through 8, he tells Timothy, he says, everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my life, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see the Savior. My question to you today is, how would you enter into eternity? How would you depart this life? You say, preacher, I thought this was supposed to be on church leadership. It is. And you are a leader in your family, in your home, on the job site, in your neighborhood. You either lead folks to Christ or you lead folks away from Christ. Where are you leading folks today? Where are you leading folks? Now, with that said, that lesson is complete. And I start the next one, amen? Which you've got in your bulletin today, okay? And we go from church leadership to the church's doctrine. And let me remind you something. The church's doctrine is not yard sales. It's not fundraising. It's not, you know, mega church business and concerts and bright lights and puppy dog tails and all this stuff. We pastored a church. My wife and I pastored a church not long ago, and they were having a special Sunday for pet blessings. And they were blessing pets. They wanted everybody to bring their pets to church that day and get them blessed. And I thought, my soul, I can't believe that. They put their pets above their children. Not tell their children about Jesus and let them be in these public school situations where they got these, what do they call them? Dairy Queen? Not Dairy Queen. What is it? Drag Queens. Dairy Queen's a good place, okay? Dairy Queen's a good place, all right? Drag Queens are not, okay? But they allow their children to go around the drag queens, but they take their dog to some guy in a gown with a big cross hanging off his neck to get blessed. Folks, our priorities are wrong. The doctrine is wrong. The church's doctrine is one item, and it is salvation. Salvation. And I want you to look at this today. We're going to be looking at the book of Romans now. We're going through the New Testament. And in the book of Romans, I want you to understand something today, that there is more to salvation than just being saved. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, well, I'm going to heaven. Isn't that enough? No. Because if that was all that mattered to God, was for you to be in heaven, He'd have stopped your heart the moment you accepted Him as your Savior, and it took you on to heaven. He has left you, He has left me here with a job to do. And that is to take the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. I want you to look at our theme verse for the lesson today. It's Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. And it said this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to try to get down to the first part of this lesson today, okay? And I want you to see some things in this lesson. It's entitled The Church's Doctrine, Salvation. And I want you to understand, the book of Romans is a great book. It's a wonderful book on Christian theology and doctrinal teaching. It's a great book. You ought to read it. I took time this past week to sit down and read all the way through it again. I wanted to be able to see and to hear it from the aspect of Brother Paul being inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to write these things to you, to me, to those in Rome that knew Christ as their Savior, and setting things straight in doctrine that we ought to understand and know and then teach. And in this, we see that not only did God inspire, the Holy Spirit of God inspire the Apostle Paul to write about the sinful state of mankind. Listen, the book of Romans will tell you, in the very first chapter, it describes the state of man and how sin has so destroyed and perverted the minds of men. They refuse to acknowledge God as God, and they worship the creature more than the Creator. And what ends up happening is God turns them over to a reprobate mind. We're seeing that today in our world, in leadership, right now, in our nation. Oh, may God help us. You know what would be great? It would be great for those folks that are so wicked and so perverted in our leadership in our nation today, that God would somehow, the Holy Spirit of God would somehow convict their hearts so much that they would see themselves as God sees them, and they would turn away from their wicked sin and repent of that and come to know Christ as their Savior. Now, we think that's impossible. But listen to me, folks, nothing is impossible with God. Look at the Apostle Paul. Who would have ever thought this man that stood there and held the coats of those men while they stoned Stephen, he gave his approval for that. He took papers and put children and men and women to death in prison, had them tortured to blaspheme the name of God, the name of Christ. And he did it all in the name of God, in the name of the Jewish religion. Who would have ever thought a man like that God could ever save? But he did. Amen. He did. And we not only see God's plan to redeem sinful man through the book of Romans, but we see how that all the world needs to know that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to be redeemed. Not only do we find God's doctrine of salvation perhaps explained the best here in the book of Romans, but we also find some promises from God. We see God's promises to set apart and to sanctify or spiritually grow up and mature those who place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He promises to do that. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that God not only offers salvation and redemption from sin and justification to those who are lost, but he also offers to those who place their faith in Christ the opportunity, yea, the privilege, okay, to be able to grow in their faith and serve the Lord and share that message with others around them. I look at some of you folks in here today, and you go out and you tell folks about Christ, and I think to myself, who would have ever thought that they would go out and tell somebody about Jesus? Man, some of you may have been rough as a cob, and now God's got you smoothed down. You're just a puppy. Man, you just love everybody. You got to tell everybody. Kathy gave me a whole stack of the pink cards from folks that got saved at the Reese Carnival over here. And I think on Thursday night, there were 71 people at the Reese Carnival that came to know Christ as their Savior because some of you went out and took the time to share that message with everybody that walked by that booth. 71 people. Over 160 came to know Christ as their Savior for the whole 5 days that folks were there. Listen, God gives us that opportunity. And when He tops it all off by giving us that opportunity to serve Him and to take the message of the gospel to all the ends of the world, He gives us a joy that the world cannot understand. They wonder, they look at us and they say, man, you guys are just crazy. You're a nut. I may be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen. And you know what? Listen to me. I'm a fool for Jesus. But let me ask you, whose fool are you? I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than be a fool for the devil. Paul talks about what a great God and a great Savior we have. And the content of the book of Romans does not stop there. When we get into the book of Romans, it goes on and it continues to show us God's plan for the nation of Israel as well. And it shows us here that God still has a plan for His people. They are His chosen people. And folks, we see everything falling in place around that one little speck over in the Middle East that everybody wants. And everybody's got to have. Everybody's a child of Abraham. You know, everybody's got to have this. God said, nope, this doesn't belong to you. It belongs to My people. And I'm going to give it to them one day. And folks, we see that in the book of Romans. We see practical guidelines for living for the Lord Jesus Christ from day to day. And that's why I made the statement earlier. There is more to salvation than just being saved, just going to heaven. There's more to salvation, so much more to salvation than just being saved. Let me put it this way. Salvation is a way of life. Amen. Amen. When we get saved, I told somebody yesterday, my wife was, she had her little craft show thing at the Ag Center down here. And I was talking to somebody about the gospel there. And I told him, I said, you know, when God saved me, He changed my wonder. Amen. I don't want the things I used to want before I got saved. I want a new life in Christ. I want to live for Him. I want His leadership and guidance in my life. The Holy Spirit of God has to have that. Only one king can sit upon the throne of your life, folks. Who is it? Who's the one sitting upon the throne of your life today? He gave us a new way of living. He's given us a book that shows us how to live that life. And then I want you to see in the lesson today that how God has given us, through His precious and holy word, clear, understandable, doctrinal teaching that will serve as the foundation for all that we do for the one who reached further down for us than we could ever reach up. He has given us the foundation. He has given us the means. He has given us the guidance. And this will help you and me today as we study through this book of Romans and through all the other scriptures that we will go through. As we study these things and we glean from the Word of God, as we read the book and we allow the book to read us, we're going to see the fact that there is so much more to salvation than just being saved. Amen? So much more. And with that thought, if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll start point number one, all right? All right, be back here next Sunday. Listen, I'm looking forward to it. The introduction to the book of Romans. I want you to see this next Sunday morning, all right? Let's pray, and we'll let you get dismissed this morning, all right? Father, Lord, I love You today. And oh God, how I love Your precious word. And Lord, how I love to know that, Lord, You are my guide. You are my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Lord, You are there to help me to grow for You. And Lord, I want to say first of all, thank You, God, for saving me. Lord, there's a 15-year-old boy that rode the bus to Sunday school. God, thank you for reaching down and saving me and then calling me to preach your word. And Lord, I thank you, God, for being faithful in all things in my life. But Lord, I want to be an encouragement to your people. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll give me wisdom to be able to do that. And through these lessons, Lord, speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, to understand that the Christian lifestyle is more than just a phrase and saying that we're saved by grace. But Lord, it is indeed a way of living from day to day. Help us, oh God, to be willing to take the message of the gospel everywhere that we go and share it with everyone that we meet. And Lord, if there be anyone today listening to the sound of my voice, that you're speaking to their heart, Lord, when the invitation is given today in church, God, would you let them come forward and come to trust you as their own personal Savior? Would you do that? Would you speak to those that are listening through the internet today? Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just bless it. Help us now, Lord, be with our pastor as he stands to preach. And Brother DeWitt, Lord, as he speaks some words to us today, I pray, God, you'll continue to bless him and be with his ministry. God, we'll thank you for what you do because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you folks today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.